chapter, what we have in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, where they said, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer. And so the Bible has a lot to say about prayer and the importance of prayer. And so I want to read these verses tonight. 1 Corinthians, let me get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 6. I'm going to read verses 6 through 17. We're going to find our text verse tonight is in verse 15. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? That's put in the form of a question, because he's saying this is how you are profited by what I say to you. The revelation that God has made known concerning himself, his Son, the Spirit, the church, or by the knowledge, especially under the new covenant, or by prophesying, or by doctrine, which is teaching. And basically he's saying that's what's going to profit you. Okay? And let me say this before I read on. That's why we do what we do. You got it right there. He didn't say in there, sing a good song. Though singing is a blessing. And singing praise to the Lord in the right way is worthy, and we ought to do it. But the profit comes, profiting, not in the sense of prophesying, but just profiting comes through those forms that are given right there in verse 6, okay? And you have to remember, they did not have a complete scripture. They didn't have a complete Bible. The Bible was in its being, the new covenant was being fulfilled and made by the letters that he's writing here. So they had, Paul had special revelation, they had special knowledge, they had prophesying, and there was teaching that come from all of that. All right? We do not have any new revelation, we do not have any new knowledge, and we do not have any prophesying today. We have a complete Bible. All right, and I'm not preaching on that, but you can go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and you can see where he says, it's all going to stop. All right, so that's how the church is profited. All right, verse 7. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped, a musical instrument playing? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understand not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. And so we're going to stop our reading there. And again, my text verse is in verse 15, where he says, I will pray with the Spirit. So I'm bringing a lesson tonight on praying with the Spirit and praying with the understanding. I will pray with the understanding. Now, Paul is dealing here exclusively with communication, communicating, dialogue, preaching, talking, church, what we call church services, and what we're doing, okay? And if you go back to the beginning of the letter, he says, it's been reported unto me by the house of Stephanus, okay? So Stephanus told Paul a lot of things. And part of what he told him was, you got some people in the church that is glorifying speaking in tongues. And nobody else knows what they're saying. And there's no interpretation of it. Tongues were a sign basically for the Jews. Tongues were never given for people to stand up in church and speak in various languages that other people could not understand. So you got the charismatic movement today that does that exclusively, and they're wrong in doing it. When tongues were given, what the Bible calls tongues, when they were given, and the first day that touched down on this earth and they were given, those that heard them speak in tongues said, we do every man in our own language hear the wonderful works of God. They didn't say, we and every man don't understand what anything's been saying because they're talking in a foreign language or foreign tongue. They didn't say that. God gave the gift of tongues because he wanted to, because he's sovereign God. And there are a lot of reasons why he did it. I'm not going to preach on that tonight. But the point is, if somebody did speak supernaturally with a gift of speaking in tongues, if the understanding was not given with that, it's unfruitful and it was not to be done at all. That's what he's saying, okay? Also, the women were not to do it. If you keep on reading, and I'm not preaching on tongues tonight, I'm just telling you the tongue movement today would die a natural death if the women would stop doing it. There's a lot of people that do things in that arena that think they're doing something spiritually from the Bible, but the Bible contradicts the very thing that they're doing. And the Bible forbids them to do today what they're saying they're doing. They're not doing it. I have no problem saying they're not biblically empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what they're doing. I don't care what anybody... I've had people try, well, you don't know. I do know. I got a Bible here that tells me that they're not supposed to do that. And in this chapter here, he's dealing with the fact that if... And whoever told Paul this, he writes the letter to him. He says they're showboating down there. And they're getting into this contest about who's speaking a supernatural tongue. And so Paul, in writing the letter to the Corinthians and the various things that he deals with, and he deals with a multiple facet of things at the Corinthian church, but he sets in order here that that's not why God gave that gift. And it's not to be exercised that way. So he's talking here about communicating. Words. I mean, you go back up. Let's go back up to verses 7 through 9. He says, verse 6, he says, except I speak to you. So he's talking about speaking there, verse 6. And even things without life-giving sound, an instrument, a musical instrument, pipe or harp, except there give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? I mean, if I try to play this piano to sing He Whispers Sweet Peace to Me, you wouldn't know the tune, the key, the notes or anything because I can't do it. And so he's saying there has to be a distinction and an understanding. There are people that get on a piano and play an introduction, and I, for the life of me, don't know what they're playing. The distinction to lead into the song is not what I hear. I mean, I don't know. I know the song, but what the intro is, I don't know that. And so it throws me off. Sometimes when Wayne calls out a number, and our pianist, whether it be Jamie Lee or whoever, mostly it's Jamie Lee, she turns to the wrong number, and she starts playing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and he called out Blessed Assurance, he looks at her because he knows the distinct sound of Blessed Assurance, and she's playing Amazing Grace. You're not communicating. We're not on the same page. And that'd be a good phrase to say about what I'm preaching on tonight. You got to get on the same page. Now, he's talking about communicating, and basically he's talking about preaching and all in a church service and what they were doing. I'm not preaching on that tonight. That's the context. I'm preaching on public prayer. Okay? And public prayer is the church interacting with the service that is going on, and we have a form that we do here, and most churches do, whereby we begin our service. Everybody knows what we do. We're going to have a song on Wednesday night. We're going to have two songs. I'm going to come up here and lead us in prayer, public prayer. On Sunday morning, we have one song, and then Wayne usually calls on me, but sometimes he doesn't. Most of the time he does, and I lead us in prayer, or he calls on somebody. And then sometime during the song service, we call on another brother to play. So we kind of know what we're going to do and how it goes, all right? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But public praying is not just a part of the service like, well, it's time for us to have a prayer here now. We got to know what we're doing. And the title for my lesson tonight is Praying with the Understanding. If everybody's... He goes on, and again, how is it that when you come together, everybody has a psalm? And everybody has a song? And everybody has a prayer? And we're not communicating. It's not... We're not together in it. Okay? Amen. And so when it comes to our prayer time and our service, I go to churches, brethren. I've learned through the years, a lot of people do things. Everybody don't do like what we do. Okay? They do things various and sundry different ways. Okay? And I don't go down there and have a heart attack and put a X on the church building and write Ichabod on the door and say, I ain't never going back, because they don't do it like we do it. Okay? But one thing that we need, I don't care where we're at, we need to be together in what we're doing, and we need to have our prayers need to be. Let me put it to you this way. When Peter was in jail and they were going to kill him after James was killed and Herod took Peter, throwed him in jail, prayer was made without ceasing for him before God night and day. And so they're all together, and they are praying with the understanding. Okay? They didn't have, in other words, one man didn't have his form prayer, and another man had his form prayer, and another man had his form prayer that he prays every time. This is my prayer. This is what I'm going to pray every time. They're praying together for the same thing. Whether they're praying in unison, whether one man is praying audibly and others are praying with him silently, which is what we're all supposed to be, lifting up our hearts in prayer in unison to God. We call on somebody to lead in public prayer, and we all have the understanding of what we are praying for. One reason I got this list right here on prayer request time on Wednesday night is so we can all get together. Okay? And so we're talking about communicating, And prayer is a form of communicating to God. And the Bible talks about how to pray and how not to pray. Jesus said, be not as the hypocrites are. So the first rattle out of the hat, we don't want to pray like a hypocrite. That is faking it. It's time to pray. It's my turn. And here I go. And I'm not connected by faith to heaven. So the first thing we got to understand is we don't fake prayer. Let me tell you something. If I call on you to pray, or the song leader calls on you to pray, and you can't pray, pass it off. Don't fake it. Is that okay? I grew up in the church where I grew up. They'd call on a man to pray, and if he couldn't pray for whatever reason, sometimes he just didn't want to, or he was mad at somebody, or he was whatever, he'd call on somebody else. If you can't pray, don't fake it. Is that okay?
Yes.
You do not want to pray as a hypocrite. All right? What we want to do is pray with the understanding. Let me say something else. If the only time you ever pray is when you get to church, you're not praying. You don't know how to pray. You're not hooked up with heaven. Amen. We use this term prayer life. Prayer has a life. We're told to pray always. We're told to be instant in prayer. We're told to pray without ceasing. They prayed laying. They prayed standing. They prayed kneeling. They prayed walking. Amen. You just be instant in prayer. I mean, constantly dialogue with God. And when you are called on to pray audibly, nothing changes. What changes? You've been praying, you know, all day in the morning. And I work in the public, folks. I don't stand out there on a job while I'm cutting and figuring and doing and all that. I'm just, oh, God, help me cut these rafters right. I don't think God cares about that kind of stuff. You know, I've learned how to do it. Lord, bless us today. Keep us safe and from harm. And then I go out and I give myself to my work. Don't let this tree fall on me if you're cutting trees or whatever. But I don't have to be in a time of talking to God all day long when I'm putting insulation in. You understand what I'm saying? But I ought to be constantly communicating with heaven in my heart. Prayer, this whole thing that he's dealing with here is communicating. You have dialogue. They were abusing the dialogue of speaking in tongues. Okay? So Paul gets down here and he says, if you're praying in tongues and you're giving thanks for something, if somebody's sitting there, if Joe's sitting there, he don't know what language, what you're doing, how's he going to say amen? He's going to think you're nuts. It's confusion. We don't do that. Now, nobody here speaks a foreign language as far as I know. And you definitely don't do it in your normal communication, okay? And I'm not getting on to us. We need to mature and perfect what we're doing. And the main thing I'm trying to urge us to do is to be in constant communication with the Lord, so that when you're called upon, folks, and please, this is not a rebuke. I'm trying to help us here tonight. Men and women. My wife prays, okay? She prays. She has a prayer time. But when we're at home, I lead my family in prayer. I thank God set the man in leadership. But I've had her pray for me. When I had COVID, I really thought this was it. I'm out of here. I was so sick, I couldn't hardly think. I said, you need to pray for me right now. Pray. I had her praying. If you want to say she prayed over me, I was laying down, she was standing up, and she prayed for me. I'm not gender misogynistic that she can't pray. I want her to pray. There's times where I'll go to bed and she'll go to pray. And I go to bed. By the time she gets there, I'm gone. I'm asleep. She takes time to go pray. So I'm not, everybody needs to pray. Men, women, and children, everybody needs to pray, okay? It's a form of communication. But let me say this. When you're called on to pray over the food, You don't need to catch up on everybody you're supposed to be praying for regularly. Amen. Now, I've seen people, you ask them to say the blessing. Now, if there's a burden there, somebody's fishing to leave or travel or whatever, but to pray for 26 minutes when you've been asked to thank God for the food, what are we doing? We need to pray with the understanding. Brother Randy, pray for us before we go eat. You know, and so he offers a prayer for, I just got through praying for the missionaries. Are we all okay here?
Yes.
So if I pray for the missionaries and we go back there and have a meal and I ask Joe to pray for me, offer thanks for the food, why would he go back and pray over? Do we have that kind of burden for missionaries? I don't think so. I think we're just talking. Is that okay? Is that okay? It better be okay. We're just saying words, and we're not praying with the understanding. If somebody's called on to pray over somebody's sickness, don't you think we ought to mention that?
Yes.
What I'm saying is a lot of times we're not praying with the understanding. We're just making a racket. Now, I know most preachers ain't going to tell you that, and some preachers get mad at me for even saying that. But I'm telling you, brethren, the Bible talks about effectual praying. And you got to pray with the understanding to pray effectually. There has to be some understanding about what we're doing. There has to be some understanding about who we're doing it with. Let me say this again. I mentioned this the other night, and the Lord, or it's on my heart. I don't credit God with everything I think. Because I don't believe in that. I don't believe preachers have got a direct communication line with God, and everything they think, God told them that. They're going to wish they hadn't said that when they get to their judgment. Somebody asked me one time, said, well, does God tell the preacher everything? I said, no. He said, well, they say he does. Well, I said, if that was the case, they would be infallible. And they wouldn't have to go to judgment. We get to go to judgment to give an account for everything we've said. You start crediting God with every thought you have, folks, we need to be real careful there. But it came to my heart about prayer that, you know, we need to pray with, we need to understand what we're doing. And there's power in prayer. And there's effectual praying. And there's praying in the Spirit. Well, I'll probably get to some of those scriptures here in a minute. And so what I'm trying to say to us, we need to mature. We need to pray with the understanding. He goes on to say here, he says, what is it that I will pray in the Spirit? And I will pray with the understanding. So that's how we got to pray. We got to pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. That's our text verse. He also says, I will sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. And so when people get up here and sing songs that I can't understand, it does nothing for me. I'm going to say that again. When people get up here and sing songs that I don't understand, I understand English. I understand the vocabulary. But if that song is sung where the understanding is not understood, you're speaking to the air. We are audibilizing words for a reason. We're saying things for a reason. There's a you know, it's not just, okay, I call on Keaton to pray, and he says some words, and I go up to him and say, good job, Keaton. Folks, he's not praying to me, and it's not so I can say to him, you done a good job praying. You worded your prayer good. That's not what it's about. You are talking to God in heaven.
Amen.
And you're supposed to have a hookup in the Spirit of God to speak to the Lord from your heart, whether it be silently or audibly. Let me tell you something. When some of you pray, there's things in my life you don't know anything about. And when we're called on to pray, I join with you in prayer, but I'm also offering up prayer. prayers to God. But I'm with you. You know, we have the brother coming to be in our meeting. We pray for that. He gets here. We call on somebody to pray. People, there are folks that are not communicating with God regularly, or search in vain in their mind, or search, they go, they're in their mind, they're trying to say acceptable words to word this prayer, when what we're focused on here is, Brother Jacob, pray for us. We're starting this meeting. Pray for the meeting. I mean, be specific with God. And then, but that's not the only time, you know. If you don't pray for Brother Morgan in Africa when you're praying for the meeting that we're going to have Saturday night, it's okay. Pray for him in the morning. But to just run a gamut of names or things in wording a prayer, we're praying to be heard of men and not God. I know public speaking, I know how that is, okay? I know how it is to speak publicly in front of other people. You know they're going to hear you. But folks, you got to tune other people out. You got to get hooked up with God. Let me tell you the best way to do that. Talk to Him all day long. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Bible says, be in communication with God. I drive down the road, I talk to the Lord. I want to. I want to talk to the Lord constantly throughout the day from my heart. Whether I say it out loud, whether somebody sees me. You know, Hannah prayed in the Bible. Did Hannah get a... Now, Eli ain't getting nothing answered. And Eli's boys ain't getting nothing answered. They're wicked as the devil in that old temple deal, that tabernacle. But Hannah goes down there, and she's sitting over there, and she's praying, buddy. She's hooked up. And Eli comes over there, and he don't know enough about praying. He calls her drunk. But she had an audience with God. I can run you through the Bible. Nehemiah wept and prayed. And then when Artaxerxes says, what's thy petition? He prayed real quick. But see, he didn't have to stop and pray for Ezra and the gold and the donkeys and the camels and everything else that he needed to go down there. Did he? No. He's been in communication with God. And so he just said, oh Lord, grant, you know, bless me right here. Here I go. I got to tell this guy something, this king. And he made his request. But see, Nehemiah just didn't start praying. He was hurting. He'd been hurting. He'd been praying for Jerusalem. And that's what I'm trying to, if I can encourage you, that's what I'm saying to you. You don't get caught up in prayer. I mean, you're not going to convince me that Nehemiah got real caught up in prayer real quick when Artaxerxes said, why are you so down? You're not being sad before. He had been constantly talking to the Lord about this, and God opened the door of grace for him, buddy. You go read that book of Nehemiah. That's effectual praying. Daniel, Ezra, go walk, Moses, just walk through the scripture. Walk through the scripture. So, another thing about this is you're going to get judged for this in the day of judgment. And if you're not sincerely talking to the Lord and praying, you're going to be in big time trouble. I'm going to be in big time trouble. Jesus said, when thou prayest, when Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, he didn't mean go home, get down there on your coat rack. They didn't even have closets like that. I think what the Lord is saying there is every time you address my Heavenly Father, you get between you and Him. You and Him. You don't have to go hide somewhere to do this. You're talking to God. Pray with the understanding. Let me say a little bit more about the understanding here. In order to pray with the understanding, you got to be meditating. You come into church, we're coming up here to the house of God. What did God call His house? My house shall be called a house of prayer. So you're thinking about that, you're meditating. Matter of fact, you ought to be praying. Pray for me as you come up here. I've had a long, hard, rough day. Jacob's hit me with a 2x4 upside the head, so I'm addled, so I need some prayer. So it's a house of prayer. We're coming up here. Peter and John went up the third hour to pray, or the ninth or whatever hour they went up. They went up there to pray. You're coming up to pray. So your understanding on Wednesday night, especially, we're coming to prayer. We're going to have a special time of prayer. One reason, folks, we don't have no more burdens and requests for what we do is because we're not hooked up with God in prayer. I've been there. I know what it's like to be close. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cut the world out. I mean, you get spiritually burdened. You want to pray. You enjoy it, but you need it. And it does something for you to talk to God in heaven. And because Jesus Christ is sitting on His right hand, you know He hears you. And so you have to, so you pray with the understanding. Okay? So whatever that is. And you're going to have, we're all going to have just ongoing needs. Things are going to change. This is why I hit what I said about form prayer. Form prayer is just, we're not talking to God. It's just, this is my prayer and this is what I'm saying. Well, man, everything out there's changed. Look at all this going on. Look at these kids growing up. Look at people's problems. Look at what all is going on. So when you're constantly communicating with God and you're caught up in that sense of praying by praying without ceasing, then when we get to the house of prayer, the house of God, we come in here to pray and we have a special prayer time, or you're called on to pray, you pray with that understanding about what's going on, okay? Where we're at, what we need. And you pray specifically. When Jesus taught on prayer, He said, what if you got a friend that comes and you got a guy that comes in and comes on you in the morning at midnight? You don't go over and say, and go through a smorgasbord of a pantry. You specifically ask, give me a couple loaves of bread. You're specific about this. Everybody that got their prayers answered in the Bible were specific about what they're praying about. This is praying with the understanding. Now, Lord, help our country. You pray a general prayer. But we're told to pray for the kings and all those in authority, the rulers, the governors. I mean, that's specific. And there's a time for that. So what I'm saying to us tonight is that we are communicating with God. Now, verse 12, let me go to verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. Now, our spiritual gift that we're talking about tonight is praying. That is a gift from God. I'm not talking about tongue talking and miracles and all that. We're talking about prayer. So, He says, you are zealous. Let's just put pray. You desire to pray. Seek that you may, look at that word, excel. Do you believe it's possible to excel in prayer? You think all praying's the same? You think somebody's heart's not in what they call their prayer? That gets just as much response from God or power from God as somebody's in agony praying? Excel for God's sake. Not to be, boy, that hand can pray. No. Not to have any glory put upon ourselves, but the point here is excel to the edifying of the church. Folks, when somebody prays earnestly, an earnest prayer, it edifies me. It's a blessing to me. The right kind of prayer and praying and a church that prays edifies the church. It is, for these little kids, they know what the last amen means. That means sticks and whacking and woods and bubble gum, whatever else. The congregation, the membership, the Christians, you can't be there. You got to be way above that. We excel in edifying the church when we pray with fervency, and I don't want, everybody's not wired up to verbalize or communicate the same way. All right, I understand that. We don't have one guy and everybody mimics him. No. We're individuals. We're distinct. But we have distinction in our voices. And my point is, we need to be hooked up with God when we pray. We need to know what we're doing. We're coming here to do that. You're going to be called on to pray. You're not praying. You men that are called to lead this church in prayer, and you women that pray silently, you're not called on to pray so we can judge you. You're called on to pray so you can beseech God in heaven and present supplications and requests to God and be a blessing and edification to the church. All right? That's what I will pray with the understanding. He's talking here about somebody's praying in tongues. You don't know what nobody's saying. That don't do anything for anybody. That's confusion. Well, that's not our issue today. Our issue today is, are we really praying? I had a friend that said it like this. He said, you need to pray until you pray. You need to pray until you pray. In other words, you need to pray till you pray. You know, that's, I'm not talking about something somebody else or some other type of religion does. I'm just talking about you got to get your head clear. You can't go to the Lord and your thoughts be ranging. And then all of a sudden you come down here at church and you get called on to pray and you're just scattered. No. We have a focus of what we want. That, and again, that's one reason I have this Wednesday night prayer time, and we go through that list, and I pray specifically for everything on that list. And if you want something, if you have a specific need or want something on there, then you know you need to say, is anybody have a request? Most time, if it ain't somebody violently sick, there are no requests. Now I know I cover some of them. I know I cover our lost loved ones. I know I cover our missionaries and all that. But is that it, Brandon? We don't need nothing else? Or we just handle this ourselves somewhere else? And the church body come together, we don't need to do that. Think about this, what I'm telling us tonight. We don't need to waste our time with just speaking. Here's what he says about speaking in tongues. He says, nobody understands. In other words, let me put it this way. If it don't bless, I'm just talking to the air. If it's not a blessing, I'm just talking to the air. That's what he said about speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. I'm just praying to the air. Nobody gets anything out of it. It's not a blessing. There's no life in it. We're not hooked up. We're just wording things. And we call that prayer. So we pray with the Spirit and we pray with the understanding. How do you pray with the Spirit? Let me just go over these right quick. Well, if you walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, you'll pray in the Spirit. You're not going to pray in the Spirit or pray with the Spirit without walking in the Spirit. You cannot walk in the flesh And that don't mean immoral, rot gut, no good, sorry, drug, alcohol, not just flesh. You can't walk in the flesh and pray in the spirit. Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. And you cannot do so that you cannot do the things that you would. So for you to pray with the spirit and pray in the Holy Ghost, Jude, verse 18 through 20, praying always in the Holy Ghost. For you to do that, you got to walk in the spirit. In other words, you got to be controlled by the Spirit of God. You got to be hooked up with heaven to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's run over at Jude. Let me read. I want to read about three verses right there, right quick. So the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us how to pray." Now I'm not. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to help us here. Jude. Verse 18. Well, yeah, let me read 18. "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust." Verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, don't be that away. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk in ungodly. These mockers walk after their own ungodly lust. They don't have the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. What does building up mean? Edifying. That's what the word edification means, to build up. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Is that some special deal that you know, we say all our words just right, we're praying? No, it's to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit. You sing in the Spirit. You preach in the Spirit if you walk in the Spirit. But if we walk in the flesh, you're not going to pray in the Spirit. And I'm not talking about, again, not talking about wicked and moral stuff. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about this congregation. To pray in the Spirit, pray with the understanding, You have to be connected. You have to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 right quick. Ephesians chapter 6. There's a lot of verses, a lot of scriptures in the Bible about praying. Ephesians chapter 6. While you're turning there, let me ask you a question. How would you like it if we were so pleasing to God, we were so spiritually connected to heaven, to our Lord, that you prayed what you prayed for, God answered that prayer every time you prayed it? Now you stop and think about this Bible now. You think about when Paul asked God to do certain things. Woman's got a divination, ungodly, old demonic spirit in her, followed after us for many days. Paul got so sick and tired of that, he said, "Lord," and he cast that spirit out of that woman. They saw the hope of their gain, means of their gains were gone. They throwed him in prison. Paul got his prayer answered. Now he wasn't praying that every day. He just got tired of it one time. Or another time, situation, a man with a bloody flux over on the Isle of Malta. Paul prayed, he got healed. Got his prayer answered. Paul prayed for Onesimus, he got born again. The greatest need we have for people to get saved. And not many people are getting saved, and that tells me not many prayers are getting up. And I'm just saying, you know, we know that if he heareth us, 1 John 5, we have the petitions we desire of him. Well, either he's not hearing because his face is against him, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers. Let me say that again. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So you can do evil by the way you approach God in prayer. By never praying, not walking in the Spirit, come down to church, you get called on to pray, and God, it goes up and God don't listen to it. Amen, brother. Yeah, I know, amen. So we have the petition we desire if we ask him anything according to his will. All right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Now this is the whole armor of God. So this is not apart from the armor of God. This is what makes the armor of God work in Ephesians 6. Praying always with all prayer. There's your praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's an all day long praying. Paul was a tent maker. Paul was in jail. Paul rode ships. Paul got beat. Paul got a lot of things. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And watching thereunto. What does it mean to watch? Looking. Be on guard. You're seeking. You're watching. You're on guard. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that for me utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. So Paul had to pray for utterance that he may open his mouth boldly. He had to pray for it. And so he's asking him to pray for him. So praying, here it is. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You cannot pray apart from the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. This will be the last one we read tonight. Romans chapter 8. Now here, he's the context here is not prayer, okay? The context here is not prayer. The context here is sonship. Context here is the children of God. That's what he's... So you're children of God. Since you're children of God, he says, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. So they're praying in the Spirit. I'd venture to say all this that I'm preaching on tonight, they're praying in the Spirit, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with us for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That just simply means the Spirit of God in the believer takes the heart's prayers, connects him to heaven with it, because the Trinity is connected. They're not separated. And he is, you're petitioning, supplicating, requesting, and the Spirit is actually speaking to what's best for what you're praying for, and you don't even know if you're praying for that which is right. For an example, God may have somebody situated where what they're going through in that circumstance, somebody's going to get saved. But somebody's over here is praying, deliver them from that thing. Well, God's got it set up because somebody's going to get saved out of this. Using this for somebody to be saved. Philippian jail? What would you be praying for Paul when they whooped him up and throwed him in there? What would you pray? Go get him out, get him out. God didn't get him out. Midnight they sang praises and prayed. I'd be praying, Lord, please deliver Paul and Silas. But the Spirit maketh intercession and he says, they don't know what's coming. So that's me speaking. With groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So I'm praying one thing, the Spirit's speaking something else according to the will of God. I'm praying for deliverance right now. And the Spirit said, no, 3 more days. Yeah. What I'm saying is, that's always successful, if I can use that word, because we're praying in the Spirit. You see how important it is that you just don't come down here and, okay, Brother Wayne, pray for us. And he just prays Brother Wayne form prayer and it doesn't go any higher than what we say. He's just speaking to the air. You're either speaking to God or you're just speaking publicly for public hearing. Every day they open Congress with prayer. Don't look so snarky there. They open Congress with prayer. How much of that in prayer is getting answered? Every day they got a hand that prays. Brethren, we need to pray with the understanding. We need to pray in the Spirit, with the Spirit, in the Spirit, and we need to pray effectually. We need to pray. We're talking to God. We need to be humble. We're told exactly how to come into His presence. Come into His presence with thanksgiving, a worshipful attitude, and grateful. We need to pray expecting. We need to pray believing. We need to pray focused. We need to pray with the understanding. Me and Jacob pray at work when we eat together. We don't always eat together, but when we do. And he usually, this is the way he prays. Lord, thank you for the food you give us. You've just given us so much. And it's just so good and a variety and a blessing. And we've never known a shortage of it. That's somewhat of how he prays. I've heard him pray it. Pray it. I've called on people to pray over a meal. And we pray for everything. We get off into, we ask God to bless the food. When Jesus, think He's a good example? Did Jesus pray John 17 when the lad gave him 5 loaves and two fishes? Did he? Did Jesus pray for that son? Did Jesus pray Gethsemane in agony, blood dripping off of him when the boy gave him 5 loaves? What did Jesus do? He looked up into heaven. Now we don't look up into heaven. We're not worthy to look up. And he gave thanks. And he took it and blessed it and broke it. You reckon Jesus is a pretty good example? Pray with the understanding. We need to mature in prayer. And we need to pray effectually. We need to know what we're doing. We need to, through our day, we need to be praying always through the day. If you kneel and pray at your house, or if you're standing at the sink getting ready to go, you can pray. And you don't slight God. You do what the Bible says. Pray with the understanding. Pray with the Spirit. Okay?